fraught with danger, three heroes brave the void to bring you the Digital and Dice Podcast.
This is the Digital and Dice Podcast for Monday, June 18th, 2018, and show number 153 is go. I am your host, Mark Boutte.
And I am insert Brian here.
And I'm the one called Justin.
And yes, indeed, we have yet another wonderful, amazing episode coming to you live here, or if you're listening to it after the fact on the following Monday.
Man, that was a great weekend, wasn't it?
It was such
full of things that I can't remember.
Man, so many things caught fire. It was ridiculous. I mean, bad things that we wanted on fire, not good things. That would have been bad.
Did my not a flamethrower get here?
Did you buy one?
God, I wanted to.
My roommate's going to buy one, and I'm like, oh my God.
Your roommate's fascination with Tesla is almost borderline moronic, considering that they just laid off 6,900
people. He's also a pyro.
Curious as to why he hasn't already bought the in-home power relay stuff for that.
No, it's not the fact that he wants the not a flamethrower. That is perfectly okay. It's that he wants the car.
He has a pre-order.
He really wants that car.
He's never going to get it.
Yeah, he is.
No, totally not. It's just never going to happen. They're still filling orders from the first run. And they're laying off people at prodigious rates. But you didn't come here to listen to that.
No.
Mark, what have you been up to?
Let's see. I have been playing a handful of games recently. I have been doing a little bit of Stardew Valley, been playing some Overwatch here and there, which has been pretty fun.
Great.
Especially because of the event that's been running.
Has it?
Yeah, it's where you can go back and get a lot of the older event. Wow. Wow.
That was unexpected.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time.
All right.
You're welcome.
Also some 40K stuff. Been painting models and doing
fun
stuff.
Blame the LaCroix.
Blaming the LaCroix.
The essence water.
Yes. And if you check out the Instagram, there are a couple pictures of some of the models I've been working on. I've been posting up there. So it's been fun. I've been having a good time with it. How about you guys? What you been up to?
Yeah, E3's over.
E3 is, by the time you're listening to this on Monday, E3 will
have been over. It was great. That thing that happened at the very end, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually think it was over yesterday. what have you been up to?
Well, I've been playing some Overwatch with Dammit, which has been a lot of fun.
It was a little moist.
Yeah.
Not the Overwatch.
I really hope the Overwatch was not moist. I've been playing Skyrim again because I don't know why my brain does that to me, and sometimes it needs to happen. I've also been painting, putting together more models for Warhammer because that's what I need. I need more models.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make another hole in your face.
Yes, absolutely. He needs more holes in his face too. Again, I will say this one more time, that 8th edition Warhammer 40K is the simplest and best way to get into it, and anyone who is not sure about it needs to give it a try, because it is fun as hell.
Mark also thinks EVE Online is fun as hell.
Okay, yeah, you can't hold that against me for the rest of my life.
The hell I can't.
He probably will.
I have a long memory for grudges.
Yeah, That's fine. On the other hand, though, I would say that without going into a lot of detail about E3, there have been a lot of announcements I'm really happy about.
Well, that was my backup plan for the show if we didn't come up with the topic.
Ah, yeah,
E3 wrap-up.
Hey, and also, yes, I'd like to give a shout-out here. Welcome to all of you who are joining us live here on the chat, both in YouTube and on Twitch. Thanks for being here.
There are spiders under the desk.
Totally. There's lots of spiders under the desk.
You say that, and it for even that brief moment, I'm just like, oh, fucking, what?
Now you've just got that crawling sensation on your knees.
Before we went live, I released the Orb Weaver I had shipped in from Australia.
Why would you do that?
Because I secretly hate you.
Secretly?
Yeah, no.
Sure, secretly.
Very, very secretly.
This is how I show my affection.
Psst. Internet, I think Justin hates me.
No, not really. This is just how I show my affection. I'm
you release Orb Weavers into people's houses.
I want you to be better at protecting yourself. And, I feel like this is the way I can help you achieve that.
It's training.
It is.
That's fucking terrible.
If you can dodge an axe, you can dodge a ball.
For the longest time, we were going to take you up in a helicopter and drop you off in the middle of the Olympic rainforest. With just a knife and a canteen, and this was going to be my way of helping you learn land navigation.
Right.
Yeah.
So, aside from that, not really been up too much there?
I looked at a lot of the E3 stuff and realized that towards the end of the year, I will be out of money perpetually.
Fair.
I got a few games on the Switch. Sushi Striker, which has been surprisingly fun.
I looked at it once and said, eh, not my style.
I can't tell if I like it because I'm just really hungry for sushi or if I like it because of the gameplay.
I looked at it once and I'm like, wow, it's a cell phone game that people are paying money for or the Switch.
Yeah, I was thinking, Brian looked at it and said, I don't have a Switch, and then walked away.
That's, yeah. I'd be more inclined to believe that.
It's okay, and he can be at the bottom of the hill while we at the top of the hill enjoy our...
I thought it was a cell phone game until you guys said that you'd been playing it on the Switch.
You know, I also...
Admittedly, though, that game should not be $50. That's ridiculous.
It shouldn't. It's probably worth $20.
Did you pay $50 for it?
I had extra cash.
Well, before we get into a fight over that, why don't we move on to our main topic, which,
I've got a confession first. What? I have totally browsed the prices of helicopter rentals with Justin about that whole...
I actually know a guy who owns a Bell UH-1D model, and he was more than happy to do it. I just haven't found the appropriate payment method.
That's fine. Yeah. Also, Hollow Knight, is an amazing game.
I am totally going to kick you out of the door of a Huey into the woods.
You will... that is one of your life goals. I know this, to be true.
It's not even a life goal. It's going to happen probably within the next month.
And on that note, why don't we move on to our main topic, which is... I don't know, something about conflict. Brian, take it from here. What do we got?
Oh, it is GM201 Division over Dice Intra-Party Conflict.
Absolutely. Also, for questions from the chat, we will be talking a little bit more about E3 later on. It is something I do want to get into at least a little bit. Yes, absolutely. So, intra-party conflict. What we want to talk about today, from the point of view of a game master or anyone who's playing in any sort of role-playing game, tabletop or otherwise, this is something that is basically unavoidable. You know, you're going to have times in your games where players disagree or characters disagree.
This is most certainly Betty Grable.
Yeah. Hmm. What?
Betty Grable?
I heard him say Betty Grable.
Okay.
Unavoidable?
No, I'm fairly certain that's not what you said.
And case in point, we're going to have times where people just don't hear things properly.
I'm on a roll. This is good. I've been segueing into things. It's great.
And for today's thing, we are going to touch here briefly on players arguing, but we're going to be focusing a bit more about the intra-character conflicts and how to manage those in your game. Because honestly, when you're having player conflict at your table, there is basically one answer to it.
Plot.
No.
Story?
No.
Fun.
Player conflict, Justin.
Number one rule. Don't be a dick.
Right. And
the first
rule
of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club.
Right. And weirdly enough, the best way to deal with any sort of player conflict you have at your table is to communicate. Is to deal with them like human beings, you sons of bitches.
I thought it was to invite them both back into your backyard and just like, give them some tape over their knuckles and say, okay, you have 3 minutes to
work
this out.
We don't talk about that.
It's going to be like the end of Kickboxer where they tie their hands up and they dip it in broken glass.
Yeah, that's going too far.
That seems like a terrible idea.
You cover your hands in glue... Nothing. And then you put them in a hornet's nest, and then you start punching that way.
Was that Kickboxer or Bloodsport? Was that Kickboxer?
Cover your hands in bees, Brian.
Oh, you can do that.
So,
but bees are really expensive these days.
They're not going extinct anymore, though. So
you're basically any time that you're going to have players that are actively at each other's throat, that is a situation no GM or player ever wants to be in.
Nah, it sort of sucks.
It totally derails everything.
You know, and that is something that that we do want to talk about is there is a massive difference between the players at each other's throat and the characters at each other's throat.
Thank you, Hybrid. Thank you, Bloodsport. It was Bloodsport.
Yes.
There you go. And we're going to focus more on those character conflicts rather than the player, although we'll probably touch on it again as we move forward. I think a good framework for this to move forward is to talk about kind of like three major levels of character conflict. Yes.
Three tiers.
There is a fourth super secret tier we'll get to if we unlock that particular achievement.
Like how many figures though on the top? Because I mean, you pay per figure.
I mean, it all depends. You could just put a giant fire breathing dragon on top.
No. Also true.
No.
Yeah, you can.
Why would you though?
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Are you marrying a dragon?
Well.
Well, we'll talk about
the three levels of character conflict here, which, you know, we've basically broken it up into kind of the overall one that you see in quite a lot of games, whether they're people who are broadcasting their games out to the interwebernets, or there are people just at your local gaming table, and that is the first level, which is basically slapstick.
Right.
You know,
it's funny.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah, and then this is the kind of level of character conflict a lot of games will start at and usually not go any further from, you know, hopefully. Because this is the kind of thing where characters are dealing with each other like friends, like, you know, people who are putting each other, you know, putting their lives on the line for each other. Mm. They're adventuring, they're going into life and death situations.
They're kicking them out of helicopters.
Right.
True.
They have, you know, realistically some sort of, you know, camaraderie with these people. Nah. So
secret orb weavers into their desk.
Yeah.
You know, and that, of course, that level of slapstick is going to be a little bit different from each person. But I think, though, that when you're...
May or may not have been pregnant.
Thanks. Is it because it showed up in your body pillow?
No, I didn't get a body pillow.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you didn't. Oh, it looked like
that
a tank.
Story. No.
That'd be a really awkward pillow.
It was a very awkward tank-shaped pillow. But, so the concept of having that slapstick level humor, this is where the players are...
It would at least be a tank girl.
That's called a couch.
Maybe.
No, you
had a couch-shaped
girl
cushion?
A tank pillow. A tank pillow would be more like a couch.
I didn't say size like it.
Oh, no, it would just be that bulky. Like,
really?
Like multiple levels. It'd be like a couch fort.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure you could do it out of pillows and be fine.
Well, I mean, you could make a couch fort tank.
Tank. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Doesn't it?
I mean, that is, yeah.
Well, screw this. Let's go do that.
Yeah!
Come on, everybody.
Well, that happened. The slapstick level of ribbing each other. Mm. There's just kind of poking fun, and that
pranks,
again,
practical jokes, pies to the faces.
Yeah, and the main part about this, and what I think defines the slapstick level of this conflict, is that it usually does not involve game rules.
Occasionally, just slapping them with a stick.
Yeah, you know, it's something where you're not slapping them hard enough to actually do damage.
Oh,
you know, you're not inflicting damage on them, or if you're putting them into a precarious situation, it's not one that is going to get the party killed or imprisoned.
Sure.
I think that it's a very important thing to remember that slapstick level of humor isn't something that is going to ruin the game for everybody.
I'm pretty sure we've gotten your character imprisoned and it was all still lighthearted.
And that's the thing, is it depending on your group and depending on how serious the campaign is, it's going to, again, those levels are going to vary depending on the game and the players.
Yeah,
and Raven Tanner needed to go to prison.
Right, and sometimes...
For at least something.
Sometimes that slapstick will have other consequences, but it's not one that is like a punishment to the player or a punishment to the character.
Yeah.
It is something that is like, oh, this is the story moving forward in a lighthearted way.
We're goofing off. That is the defining characteristic of slapstick. It's goofing off.
There are no hurt feelings. There are no issues. And you're not throwing what one person enjoys about the game out the window for the enjoyment of other people.
Sure.
Or even just a single other person.
Right.
So...
With this, communication is, once again, the key thing. Know your group, talk to your group about what they're comfortable with, and that gives you a good tone where you have limits of what all everyone can walk away from with a smile.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, you obviously don't want to push it too far, otherwise you get into kind of the tier two of things.
Right. And honestly, this can take any form. It can be actual physical conflict where the players are, or sorry, the characters are like pushing each other around, you know, punching on the shoulder, that kind of stuff. Or it can be like name calling and things like that, where sometimes it's okay for the characters themselves to be basically name calling across the way and giving each other nicknames and what have you. But eventually that can cause issues in and of itself where, you know, sometimes that causes players themselves to be like, well, hey, I'd appreciate it if people didn't call me this or didn't say that my character did this or that, because it makes them uncomfortable. And again, this is where that communication keeps it on that first tier.
Tiny legs, McCanadian face.
Right, you know. Yeah. And sometimes you'll have, well, like...
Tiny legs. He's got the longest legs in the room.
That's the fun part about a nickname.
when we talked about in our episode about racial conflict in game and the species and the differences there, like having the dwarf and the elf constantly each other's, at right. each other's throats and giving each other, basically shouting racial slurs at each other in a good-natured way of the table rather than in some of the ways that it can be really hurtful or when it gets to the point where the players are now starting to get upset about it.
Sure.
So that slapstick level of good-humored conflict is something that you kind of strive for, and you hope that you don't kind of accidentally skip down into that next level.
Well, I mean, it also depends kind of on the game itself. I mean, if it's more beer and pretzels, you should expect more of that at the outset.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So I'd say, though, that... Did you steal the line? Steal your line.
He totally
stole
did.
I absolutely stole your line.
He's notorious for stealing things like jokes and things that are better that he couldn't come up with.
Speaking of stealing, though, this is actually what we're going to be talking about a little bit on Tier 2.
Yay!
Oh my god, we just performed shtick!
Good job on that segue. Yes. I'm calling it out, putting a lampshade, and moving on.
Okay, but Tier 2. theft or loot hogging? An intense but thoughtful debate.
Yeah, and this is where you get to that area where some of the players are now going to possibly be a little bit more upset about this.
Socrates shows up.
You know, and when we say intense but thoughtful debate, this is when you actually have characters that are having arguments with each other at the table in right, character. Right. And again, not the players yelling at each other, but the characters having an actual in-character role-played argument.
Right. We can't put the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse, because then it won't function properly. But if we do it this way, no, you're wrong.
Right.
The rogue bard and the paladin having an intense debate on what justifies the means.
Sure. You know, or, and as was brought up in the chat, or you could have the dwarven god chew out the dwarf for being so racist. You know?
Well, yeah, that happened.
It happened, right.
Hmm.
Theoretically speaking, of course.
And so
I think that's theologically speaking.
This character conflict, this is where the characters actively
fight.
You know, not even to that point yet.
With words.
Yes. Still fighting with words at this point, but the concept of like they're actively doing something which may cause something to happen in game.
Sure, sure.
This isn't just good-natured banter. This is actual like characters coming to a head. Conversational, can be intense, can be loud, yeah. But this is where we also kind of put things like characters
dicker to bicker,
right? And then this is also where they go into like start stealing from each other a little bit,
unless you're playing World of Tanks, and at which point you go from bicker to dicker to dicker max.
Dicker max,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've read that book.
No, I don't think you have.
I
the Dicker Max stories,
I think
it was
I
a self propelled
the...
gun.
Oh, it was Tucker Max,
yeah.
Anyway. Definitely. So the theft and the hogging of loot and the things that are actively having characters do something that affects the gameplay around them
right.
is the second tier.
Yes.
So for example, like stealing from the party, what would you throw that, Brian?
I would throw that on it. A lot of it is situational. One thing that I absolutely detest is people saying, well, I'm chaotic neutral. Of course I'm going to steal this from me. It's just lazy. It's bad. Don't do that. But things like taking other characters' stuff or specifically going through and messing up storyline elements that are not about your character, about other members of your party's stuff.
Right.
If you have a secret love letter from the Countess, it's sort of really douchey if Jan Rogue goes through, grabs that letter, and starts reading that out loud, even though that was supposed to be your player secret that was going to be part of the next story arc.
Right, right. And interestingly enough, though, and this is part of what makes this whole thing interesting to me, is there is no point, by the way, where we're saying that that you shouldn't move down these levels of conflict. All of these levels of character conflict have a place in games. We're not saying that any of them are actually bad inherently, because if your players are okay with them, they should be allowed, as long as the players themselves are not getting upset over what's happening in your game. All of the levels we're going to be talking about are things that should be allowed at your table.
controlled and communicated is the key.
Yeah, so, for example, I'd like to point out that there have been times in games that I've been in and run where players have had their characters steal from each other throughout the game, and it led to really interesting and great roleplay opportunities because the players were aware of what was happening, and they moved forward and they made it interesting in-game. And it wasn't so much a, well, your character did something I didn't like. It was, my character now goes to you and says, hey, man, what the hell was that? Why would you do this?
Steal my peaches.
You know, yeah, and you deal with it as a character, because not all your roleplay is always going to have to be happy and hunky-dory and not everyone's always on their good side, because, again...
I stole your peaches.
Back off of my peaches.
And your pound cake.
I drank your milkshake.
Son of a bitch. What?
I drank your milkshake.
Where did the milkshake come from? We were talking about peaches and pound cake.
Which I put in my milkshake.
What is wrong with you?
So the concept of, like, again, characters stealing from each other can make for really interesting gameplay.
Yeah.
A great example of this, again, for those of you who, say, watch Critical Role, there have been several times in the campaign where characters have stolen from each other or have hidden something from one another, and it makes for interesting and involved story because they deal with it as their characters, not as butthurt players. And that's something that, if, as long as your players are on the same page, party members stealing from each other can be totally in character. And right. It makes sense. And it's not just the, oh, I'm chaotic neutral, I can do what I want. No, maybe your character is chaotic good and taking that because they think it'll be more useful to them than the other party. Sure, why not? People do that shit all the time in real life. There's nothing that says that isn't a thing that people will do.
I constantly steal change from you.
Sure. You know, which totally makes sense, because it's in a jar, and you just walk by and go,
yeah, yeah, great, it's just like, how about these?
So sometimes it happens, and of course, you know,
I need this more than you.
Right, well.
Yes.
We give to the needy Justin.
Mm.
Yeah, he needs that next
I'll
tank.
Give to the needy Justin.
I steal Jen's flannels.
Yeah. So the idea, though, of like the loot hog, say like that classic example of the rogue who runs around and is like, haha, I take all the money and I don't tell people how much this thing had.
You got to make it more interesting, though. I mean, it can't just be money. It's got to be everyone's socks.
Well, again, I'm saying like this is the loot hog before the party even gets the stuff.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And this is like the, oh, like they're the ones hogging the loot before anyone else even gets
straight
to notice it's there. You know, at least have a good reason, right? Have a good reason why they're doing it. Is that rogue taking that gold because they have a debt to pay down and they don't want anyone else to know it's there?
No, they've got a secret soft spot for orphans they're feeding on the side. They
sure, why not?
Go and buy bread and throw it at the orphans. Right,
you know,
right in their face. Just like, whoop-bap.
So
bread.
The concept of having good reason as to why you're doing the things you're doing can justify almost any of the behavior we're talking about here. And that's why, like, when I mentioned characters' theft, you know, you rolled your eyes. You're like, no, there shouldn't be a way of doing it. You don't like it.
I dislike it.
And see, that's the thing is, you are the kind of player, and this isn't a bad thing necessarily, but you are the kind of player who would get butthurt over a character stealing your stuff, and you, instead of dealing with it roleplay, would go to the player and say, hey, can we not do this?
Shots fired.
Yes, but that's really the kicker, is you need to communicate, and you need to be like, hey, so this doesn't work for me, and could we not do this thing? And theoretically, because we're all gaming with friends here, there'd be a communication, and things would get resolved.
Right, and the best way to deal with you in that regard, and players that are like you...
Throw cheese at him.
Throw
cheese at me. I will eat it. It will be good.
Would be to come up to you before doing the action, saying, hey, I think it would be really interesting for the story if my character stole this thing from you.
And that is totally cool.
Pre-planning it means you can get over that anger or that player butthurt of saying, well, why the hell would you do that? And then having to be like, you know, and then going to them saying, dude, I don't want your character stealing shit from me.
Also, I don't play characters that are actually smart enough to notice that someone stole from me.
Yeah, it depends.
I mean, it gets awkward having to slap Brian in the face with a handful of brie.
Also true. It's much better to do it with Gruyere, possibly Parmesan.
Yeah, no, Parmesan's
Parmesan's hard, man.
That's I don't want to hurt my hand. I want to hurt his face.
So use the soft cheese.
Soft cheeses.
Like a bel paese, maybe?
Well, I mean...
Or are you talking
No. What's the one with the... In Spain, it's illegal everywhere else.
Oh, the one filled with maggots?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to slap him with maggot cheese.
It's a really soft cheese.
I know it is, but okay. Now, are we talking spreadable cheeses, or are we talking like more like a hard rind, soft interior cheese?
Yeah, you can do either.
Okay, because I mean
if you're going to do the hard rind, though, you got to like scoop it out.
I will slap him every day with a boursin or an alouette, like a spreadable cheese.
Hmm.
Every day I will slap Brian with that cheese. Right. But brie, I will not waste a good brie slapping Brian with it.
Why not?
Yeah, it's...
If you slap me with it, I get to keep it though.
I think
there you go. That's a waste.
The next shit post video just cheese. We're just slapping Brian with cheese. This is going to be a thing.
As long as it's my cheese after I've been slapped with it.
And as an yes. example that's brought up in the chat here, Lily Uber Madface says, I remember hearing a story of a paladin that was melted in acid because he was counting on having his acid resist ring that another character stole, not knowing what it was. So that is something where. Even if the player knows that it had happened and still jumps in the acid, that's playing to your character. That's not using meta knowledge and that's doing a thing. If the player didn't know what it was and the DM is basically allowing the characters to go behind their backs and do stuff, I will still get behind that because it's something that it can totally happen. This is something where if you're going to roleplay a character, you should be open to being... interacted with other characters and other players in such a way as that makes sense. If one of the characters is, you know, going around taking everything that's shiny, it would be really kind of short-sighted to think, well, they'll never take anything from me. It's going to happen. Expect it.
Obviously, the Kender will never take my very shiny rings that I have on, but for some reason... it's just a size too large.
Right, exactly. Also, as per the chat, yes, goat cheese. I would totally slap Brian with goat cheese.
What do you have against goat cheese?
I don't have anything against goat cheese. I'm just okay slapping Brian with it.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's your answer. It's a lot of feta for you. Are you feta up with it?
No, feta's still more of a hard cheese. Not really as much of a spread cheese.
Well, it's crumbled, though.
It's a crumbly cheese.
If you slap me with feta, can I slap you with blue?
No, I'm kind of allergic to that. So
that's the funny part.
Are you allergic to feta?
No.
Then shut up!
How about Limburger?
So,
I mean...
Like really stinky cheese.
Okay, so let's move on to...
As long as it's not like a Rochefort, because that'll just be messy.
Oh, God, no.
Ugh, right? That'd be awful.
No.
A Roquefort.
Roquefort. Sorry.
Not Rochefort.
No, it's Rouged. Rougefort.
The red castle.
Rouged. It's like wavy. It's got the little tufts going on.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want tufted cheese.
Tufted cheese.
Available
now in your local supermarket.
Tufted
cheese.
That cheese got them tufts.
Made with 100% real goats.
That tuft, though.
See, this is the kind of thing which makes me want to hit you, which means that we're on to the next stage.
Yes, this is the next step, because once you've gotten beyond the concept of just the slapstick and the debate and the arguments, this is when you get on to full-on PvP.
Yes, indeed.
And I know a lot of people are very iffy when it comes to allowing this in their games or even having it be something that they want to introduce at all.
I've had GMs who have been okay with it if it's within reason, if there's a reason for it to happen.
Yeah.
They're totally down with it. But then I've also had GMs who were like, I don't want that. And that's you, per se. You generally don't like it.
I will, in the vast majority of my games, my rule of thumb is I will allow players to fight each other if they give me a very good reason to make it happen. And
but how far do you go with it, though? Do you allow them to kill each other?
If it is completely within reason of what is happening and the players have discussed it, I will allow it. Because I will not let, you know, for example, what I hate, and this is something that I'm absolutely against, is I don't like the idea of a character looking over and going, they said something I didn't like. I stab them. And it's like, if your character...
But that might be totally reasonable depending on the type of character.
No, I'm saying like between two characters in the same party who are camped next to each other, fight life and death with each other every day.
Sure.
They say something, they made a joke at me, and they pull a knife and stab them. That is such a ridiculous overreaction to words.
But it's not necessarily for the right type of character. So, I mean, I think one of the biggest problems I have generally with the group dynamic in most situations, is the notion that you've all gotten friendly. you can fight and live and, you know, basically be within 10 feet of a person for months at a time.
Sure, sure.
And still hate them on some level or just don't care about them. And if your character is already at a moral point where they're okay with just randomly murdering somebody or something, then it doesn't seem like that big of a stretch for them to be like, you know what? Hey, look over there. Bang! Right in the back of their head.
Right. And in that case, if that is the kind of game that you are playing, and if that is something where your character's morality is a little skewed or your alignment is going towards more the I will absolutely stab my brother in arms.
We make the joke all the time about them being murder hobos. I mean, I think the morality is already there for most adventuring classes and characters.
So here's the thing, though. And this is what's always gotten me, is I've always had those characters that, at the drop of a hat, will resort to violence against anything. And it's something where it's not even just, like, their character will be completely like, oh, everything's fine, oh, it's all good, da-da-da. And then just be like, they looked at me funny, stab! And it's like random people on the side of the road. And what that to me, that is lazy role-playing.
That is lazy role-playing.
Because what it is them basically saying, oh, I don't have a good retort, or I can't think of a response. I will resort to violence to solve this.
So that wouldn't really fit with the, you know, type of person or character that I brought up. But yes, that would be lazy.
Yeah.
But how do you tackle, then, the type of person who is playing a character where that is okay for them?
To be honest, that is something where if, like, and we have a character that is played by Sound Guy Steven in a game that's being run by Wizard James, who none of us are 100% sure if he isn't going to try to kill us during the night.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's not going to kill me. He likes me.
Right. But it's something where there is a worry that his character may just haul off and stab us at any moment.
Sure.
But mostly, it's something,
mostly him.
Right. Mm. But it's something that has been brought up. It's something that we're like, yeah, we know that our characters don't trust each other.
Theoretically, if the rogue does decide to just be done with it, he could probably kill us all in our sleep and we couldn't really do anything about it.
Yeah. But the thing is like, for people who are playing constantly about their characters are friends. Like, they're always friendly and joking and laughing and doing things that friends do. And they've outwardly said, oh, these are my friends and I would die for them. And then they turn around and say something wrong. So they grab a brick and hit them over the head with it. That seems a little extreme, and it becomes that level of, that's over slapstick.
I could see how it hard working is the brick? In, depending on the theme of the game that you're going with. Because the thing is, it could be just another one of those side effects of being an adventurer. That healing addiction, that issues with the thing is, because they're tuned up to be the perfect killing machines.
Right.
Eventually, at what point in their brain, after having killed so many monsters, so many other evil adventurers, liches, all these things, do they respond to something that could be considered quite casual with some ultra-violence?
And to be honest, that is a great way of describing it as a, you know, the as same, a way of justifying, again, what I usually consider to be lazy role-playing.
I mean, the same follows for anybody playing a game with a sanity index. At a certain point, after dealing with so much that warps your mind and you're already maybe geared for combat, it's just going to be like, oh, yeah, no, totally makes sense to kneecap this person.
That actually is
dark heresy.
Not only dark heresy, but it is that is an example of the game mechanics backing up that behavior, which I'm actually more okay with, because having a character who is actively saying that my sanity is this low, I'm justifying my actions by the fact that I'm snapped like a twig.
Sure.
You know?
I guess I just fundamentally don't agree with you in the notion that even if your party is friends, I'm actually more in agreement with Brian on this. You are all tuned up for combat. You are all have been killing probably things by the dozens.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, the notion that you could just take your staff and, you know, whack somebody upside the back of the head because they've told you something.
But I'm,
I mean, you're probably going to kill
but
them.
But again, here's the thing. If you're going for the slapstick level of it, like, there's nothing wrong with having that, having the hammer or the quarterstaff and being like, poke, hey, you know, and, like, chasing them around the campfire or whatever.
Sure.
There's a difference between making a full-on attack roll against them and using your full strength and dealing possibly lethal damage to them in a hit. Because remember, all it takes is that lucky crit, and you have killed a party member when you were just like, oh, I was angry at them because they said something. Bam! I hit him over the head with a hammer. We have a word for that. It's called sociopathy. It's a
now that's uncalled for,
which is another term for adventurers. Yeah,
what you've been talking about, though, the framework that you've given, of people working together, fighting together, saving each other's lives, and creating that sort of bond. you're actually just talking about solely good aligned characters, because that ability to create those bonds and make those interpersonal relationships is actually one of the hallmarks of a good aligned character, as opposed to a
the selfish the level,
shades yeah. of neutral or evil.
So what if it's a rogue on a job? I mean, he's literally there because he's contracted with you. He has no moral obligations, but, you know, he's going to make jokes. He's going to be okay with some of
sure,
you.
Sure,
and
sure.
He's kind of friendly, but in the end, this is just a job for
right.
him.
And remember what I said earlier, though, is as long as it's justified, I'm okay with it happening. What I don't like is people dealing lethal damage to each other for nothing more than they can't think of a response to a joke. And and the reason why I've always counted this as lazy role-playing for a long time is because 9 times out of 10, it's because there is no connection between the player and the character where they feel that, well, remember, this is role-playing. This is, there are no consequences to the actions that the character is going to do against usually another character. And to the point where if players are literally going to fight to the death over an unpaid bar tab, then maybe those two characters should never have been in the same room with each other.
I don't know. You know, I may be a sociopath, but I distinctly recall a number of instances within our own group of people where we have all at one point or another hauled off and hit each other.
But hold
with
off.
The intent, with the intent to cause grievous bodily harm.
But not with deadly weapons.
Nope. I think that's happened once or twice.
Yeah, not while I've been around. And
no, you
Brian's weren't giving odd looks. Like, the point I'm getting at is that under normal
there
circumstances, usually friends won't haul off and attempt to murder each other. And if they do, there's
well,
usually
I mean,
a problem.
It doesn't follow through, and it's just you're done in 5 seconds.
Right.
I mean, it's just you hit somebody, and that's just the way of things.
Right. So full-on PvP, though, can also get down to the point where literally the players have decided our characters are going to fight to the death. You know, sometimes that is something that can happen. If two characters are at such a turning point where they say, I cannot allow this to continue, and the death of your character is the only thing that can make this move forward. Whether this is a storyline thing or a player's decision,
sure,
it's absolutely something I would allow if given a good enough reason for it.
I can certainly agree with that point, but I think it's a little contrived.
Well, let me give you an example. Dark
sure.
Heresy.
Yeah.
Psykers are a great example of people wanting to kill another player character.
Sure.
They're about to go off the deep end, and they will legitimately accidentally summon a demon prince if the other player doesn't shoot them in the head
sure.
at the right moment. This is a way. This is a built into the game system PvP.
And well established in the mythos. Any
right.
character played that would be in any way affiliated with most any armed service or even just administrative job, really, would
right.
know this.
Right, and that's something where, and then it's the same could be said for you have your absolutely puritanical, you know, arbitrator, and then you have someone who shows up with a crazy mutation they got from getting too many levels of corruption. Chances are a fight is about to break out. You know, Dark
yeah.
Heresy is another. It's just a great example of building that stuff into the mythos, into the storyline, and into the game system that literally says your characters may just come to blows and attempt to kill each other over these things that are already figured out.
It's also one of the reasons why they made building characters in Dark Heresy to be ridiculously quick and easy.
Also true.
Right.
But in your standard D&D game, you have to have a better reason for it, if only because if a player character wants to kill another player character, as long I hate when it's an off-the-cuff thing, like, I don't like them now, I'm going to kill them, because, again, lazy role-playing.
Mm.
If it's I have a quest that involves these things, and one of the things I need to do to fulfill it is to kill this person, and they find out halfway through the campaign that one of the other player characters, I don't know, was indirectly responsible for the deaths of that character's parents.
You killed my father.
Right.
Prepare to
totally,
die.
Totally legitimate reason for a player to attack, for a character to attack another character.
Hmm.
You know, that makes for interesting story. You know, again, without referencing it too many times, but when we talk about inter-party, you know, conflicts, characters in Critical Role have come to blows in the original campaign and in the second one. It's something that happens and it can be role-played really well. Whether it actually results in the death of a character or not is up to the players involved. But, you know, it's one of those things where if the two characters are arguing, they pull weapons, and the players look at each other and go, I don't know, you want to do this? You want to see who wins? And be like, yeah, sure, let's do this. And then they get into a fight, and then one of them wins and kills the other one. That makes for an interesting story, you know? And again, there's historical precedence, there's, you know, narrative precedence. It happens.
Sure. I mean, I guess it just depends on your definition of how hard you're into the roleplay of your character.
Right. And if you're into the roleplay enough that you're willing to go to the length of actively killing another player character, as long as all parties involved are okay, cool.
But what happens if not all parties are down with this? That's where we get to...
That's when we get to our fourth super secret level.
Which generally involves hauling off and hitting somebody with malicious intent.
Right, this is
something we've all done, except you.
Yeah, this is table flipping. This is anger at the table. This is actual player violence.
This is Byzantine slap. This isn't just table flipping.
Right. Now, this is something where, once you've gotten to the point where people are no longer okay.
Hmm.
People are not happy with what's happened.
You just pick up their dice, you throw them in their face, you hit them with a full open hand from a big wraparound slap, and then you kick the table over on top of them and leave.
Right, that's Justin's response to anything.
I think that's a fairly rational response.
I think that's Justin's response to...
life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him receive teacups the same way.
Yeah.
What? This is green! I said Earl Grey!
No, you're thinking of our friend Chris. I'm totally okay with hot green tea.
Right. So, this is the fourth super secret level, but honestly, this level is underneath all of them. This is the one that underpins every single level of character conflict, because at any point, whether it be slapstick or debate or PvP, it can literally end with a player getting so upset that they actively cause violence in some way or another. And this has been brought up in the chat by Wizard James, a fun session where the whole point is no canon PvP, meaning it's a dream sequence or everyone wants to see how their characters can fight against each other.
Right.
Because it has no effect on the overall narrative, because it's basically there as we just want to see what the numbers do when we throw our characters at each other. That's completely separate from the conversation here. That is basically just number crunching against each other. But admittedly, it does have an issue where it can lead to butthurt players because people get attached to their characters. And even when they've been told you're going to be in a situation where your characters are going to fight each other, they get really attached and they're not going to like seeing their character getting hurt, damaged, missing attacks, whatever. And when it's another player at the table, when it's someone they look across the table and it's like, you are the one who caused this, that can cause issue. You know, in the game, for example, that Wizard James ran, where we did a no-canon PvP thing, you know, again, Brian got upset a little over the decisions that my character did in the game. Brian himself was upset rather than his character.
I was irritated because Mark's aiding character is laying down elaborate arcane traps.
Did you slap him?
I did not slap him.
Why not? You had an opportunity.
I would like to point out he didn't have a single issue with me laying down these traps previous to it in game, where it would require just as much intelligence. It's when it happened to his character that it became an issue.
You'd never done that before.
I had, several times.
Not
absolutely.
To my notice.
Okay, ladies.
Point is that this is an issue where inter-character conflict caused issue with players. And it's something that can happen.
Well, okay, but I mean, that translates into other gaming as well. I mean, at some point you do something which pisses off somebody enough. In certain capacities. It could be a shooter game, for example, in which somebody's not doing well.
Sure. No one's
Either
playing the fucking
you.
Objective.
Right, and you're not PTFO, and then you get upset because you keep dying, and either of you break your controller or, you know, determinedly leave because controller is broken.
Sure.
Or I can't hit anything.
To be fair, it happens a lot
in all types of games. So it's not quite violence amongst players, but it kind of is.
Actually, GM just countered you on that, Mark.
GM countered saying that I hadn't. Yep. I did it in the bar with the doppelgangers. Point is.
Look, we're past that. We're on to PTFO and same room gameplay.
Yeah. Right. So the concept of the table flipping and the actual player violence. I've had players that have outright, because of character decisions, because of actions in game, have stood up from the table, said no more, and walked out of the house and gone and left game session because they were so frustrated and upset over something that happened in a game. And it's really easy for us to say things like, well, it's just a game, or hey, calm down, or whatever. But remember,
you have obviously never played Settlers of Catan.
Right. You know, Settlers of Catan doesn't ruin friendships. It's motherfucking brick hoarding bullshit that breaks character, that breaks friendships.
That's fair.
Yeah. but the concept of having that, having it get to the point of table flipping, having people getting so upset over the actions in a game, that it, that's the communication that needs to happen. You know, I'm not perfect at communication. You know, many of our friends are not perfect at communication.
No.
We have issues with it, and that's what the thing is that sometimes there will be issues between people.
Sometimes you just gotta haul off and smack somebody.
I would recommend not letting things get to physical violence.
And then you hug it out, and then you go have beer and pizza.
Right. This is, you know, it just kind of comes down to the point of, you know, when it comes to character conflict, not letting it get... Oh, nice hug. Well done. Not letting it get to the point of actual violence is kind of the goal of this. Because remember, at the core of Dungeons & Dragons, this is a collaborative storytelling game where we are trying to tell a story together. We're trying to do things cooperatively. Even if the characters themselves are at each other's throats, stealing and stabbing each other, whatever... As long as the players are collaboratively telling a story and that everyone's on board with it, that's the point we're trying to do.
I don't know. I might argue that if you've gotten to the point where somebody feels the need to get up and walk away, or angrily get up and throw something at you and walk away, that might be a mark that you had a good enough campaign that they were that involved.
It can
sometimes
be, but then when it actively throws a friendship down the drain that you don't see that person for years
you
because of it.
You didn't GM this well enough.
I wasn't the GM at the time, thank you.
Oh, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Whoever was didn't GM it well enough.
Yeah. But that's the
Maybe,
thing is that...
perhaps, who knows.
You know, there were... And that's, of course, when you have to deal with the fact that sometimes players need to communicate things outside the game, because if there's issues between the players, if there's conflict outside of the game, it shouldn't be brought into the game. It should be left at the door, you show up, you play the game, you have fun, and you leave your baggage at the door.
Mm. What? Enjoy an activity with your friends?
Right.
Nah.
So I think, though, that kind of wraps up what we're talking about when it comes to the character conflict is, you know, letting it, you know, using all those levels except for that fourth super secret level. Don't get to that point. But slapstick, theft, full-on PvP, all of this is stuff that, as a GM, you can allow in your games to whatever level you and your players feel comfortable with.
Fight with your friends.
But make sure that you're checking with them, making sure that it doesn't cause an issue with a player, because inconveniencing a character is one thing.
Spread war and chaos.
Inconveniencing your players is entirely another, and that's one thing that I don't think any of us really condone.
Get pizza later.
Right, except for Justin. Justin condones it entirely.
Peace that's through ultimate true. Aggression.
Right, so moving on, I believe we have some messages in the TwitFace Mail Tumble Site Plus.
Boy, howdy, do we?
The question that we asked... Mind you.
Yeah.
On episode 152, how are you cursed?
I figured I'd let you read that as you, it was your topic and you weren't here for it.
It's, indeed, it's true. First response we have is Henry Galley. Go for it.
Hypochondria and hypochondria by proxy. I'm cursed by believing that myself and others around me are always dying of various horrible illnesses.
That's fair.
I could see that in his writing.
Yeah,
quite a lot of people
absolutely.
Are actively dying. All the time.
I can almost sympathize with this. I mean, you constantly look like you've either got beriberi or gout.
I don't have either.
Ah,
I don't even know what the first one is.
It's a severe lack of vitamin B.
What do you get vitamin B from?
Well, I mean,
what?
Fatty fish.
I mean, I eat fish.
Do you eat fatty fish?
Yes, I do.
Do you eat enough bread?
I eat a decent amount of bread.
Do you still?
I do.
I thought you guys were off bread.
No, Lady Crass is on the keto diet, and she doesn't eat as much bread.
Needless to say, Henry, that's a fantastic answer, and I can certainly sympathize.
Absolutely. Moving on, Draconic responds, says, how are you cursed? He says, several ways, but in the interest of staying positive, I'm cursed with a need to create. It can be pretty detrimental in that I don't get enough sleep or otherwise focus on my projects at the expense of myself, but I feel compelled to keep working on my ideas, and I don't feel at all fulfilled unless I'm doing that.
Sleep.
You should probably get some sleep
also
at some point.
Also eat food and bathe.
Take care of yourself.
Eat food,
self-care
bathe.
Is very important to all creative people.
Yes. Desmond.
Hi Desmond.
While I don't feel that I am personally cursed, I did work in a cursed cube. It was the only cube in the building that
Hold
caused
up.
The...
Is that like the Hellraiser cube?
I was about to say, is this the Hellraiser cube or is it the cube cube from
I'm
the movie Cube?
I'm thinking like Hypercube.
Okay, oh, he worked he lived in a hypercube.
Where were you working?
It was the only cube in the building that caused the occupant to to aggressively build up static electricity. This led to all kinds of fun things, like being shocked constantly by my coat, the microwave, the fridge, or my personal favorite, static shocks directly to the eardrum via earbuds.
Oh.
It got bad enough that my employer actually bought me a static pad to leech away my superpowers. And you know, I actually lost earbuds to a static shock that ran up through them. And it hurt like the dickens.
I bet.
That's why I don't vape anymore, but that wasn't static. It was, I legitimately got a shock through the roof of my mouth.
Ouch.
It sounded like a gunshot.
Nope.
You were there for
this
that.
And this is Mark's greatest fear.
Nope. All of my nope.
So now I just smoke cigarettes again like a normal person. Ugh.
Moving on.
Moral truth. I'm cursed with procrastination, lol. Sometimes I got to push myself harder to get things done. Sometimes they get delayed because I get sidetracked with other tasks.
Oh, yes.
Little by little, I'm working on organizing my tasks and setting my priorities straight. What I figured out is that once I start something, I don't leave it unfinished. Keeping that in mind, I should be able to improve my time management skills and live life with less stress.
That's fair.
That's kind of cursed.
Yeah, that's fair. Although he does follow it up saying, also, I'm cursed with seasonal allergies. Having them sucks, yo.
I'm cursed with permanent allergies, but honestly, that's mainly due to my wisdom teeth.
That's because Justin's allergic to everything. Mostly fun.
Fuck you.
Oh.
Let's have some fun. Come on. Let's have some fun. Gonna have me some fun.
Gonna have me some fun. Gonna have me some fun. Fucking Predator reference. Savvy responds, I am cursed with social anxiety, agoraphobia, and being tired all the time. I'm also cursed with wanting to interact with people or go to places and events that are known for being crowded, even though I know it will scare me.
Kind of a permanent reverse FOMO.
Yeah. That admittedly is kind of the, you know, you don't want to be in these places, but you have that need of wanting to be there.
Thankfully, I outmass her by quite a bit, so she can just, you know, kind of orbit around, and it's fine.
I see. Well done.
Jay from Bandvic Radio.
Hey, Jasmine, what's up?
Horrible dating choices.
Stop that.
That's fair.
Just stop making bad decisions.
Yeah, yeah. That's, get over that curse immediately.
Make that super easy. Yeah.
Dammit42 responds, I'm cursed with minor, frequent, but statistically unlikely inconveniences.
So you're a reverse domino.
I've had belt loops torn off by door handles, my earbuds have been torn off by everything, and my favorite set were once eaten by a steering wheel. I trip over thin air regularly, I have broken my nose by running into the edge of a door, and I've locked myself out of my car many, many, many times.
I can sympathize with this partly in that as a child when I learned to walk, I didn't walk, I started running.
I bet.
And I broke my nose enough that the emergency room was afraid that I was being beaten because I was seen so often.
I see.
The fact that my nose is even marginally straight and not squashed is amazing.
That's fair.
No, if you're going to do it like that way a little bit, I think it's, yeah, no, that way.
All right. So yeah, honestly, having that kind of the curse of the sneaky hate spiral of just having little minor inconveniences all the time.
She just sounds like a
no,
minor.
No, like we're talking like she gets crushed between cars. Falls down mountains, yeah. Gets ran over, steps on rattlesnakes. That's a new one. That's a new one.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's a reverse domino.
Fair.
Damn it is very skilled.
We've got Mad
Ricochet.
Ricochet.
Ricochet. Jesus.
Ricochet. Well, it looked like Ryko Chat, and
it's how you spell ricochet.
I was blinded by the light above us.
No, you weren't.
It
French
glared.
Words.
It
guillotine.
Gelatin. Gelatin.
Gelatin.
Gelatin. That's.
Oh my god. A guillotinous cube.
Oh, we need to protect our necks. Put on our.
Omelette du fromage.
Oh, just the idea of a guillotinous cube. Instead of gelatinous, having like it made of blades that. Anyway, moving on.
No, gelatinous blades. I am cursed to repeat this very day over and over and over again until I finally get it right and make good on my promises. Okay, so what day is it?
I'm interested to know. I mean, what day are you reliving?
What promises did you make? Who did you make them to?
Every day is exactly the same.
Did you make the appropriate sacrifices? Have apparently you formed not. A blade of gelatin?
Let's see. Sir Jeffers responds with, I'm cursed with the luckiest amount of unluckiness to ever exist. Bar none guaranteed.
Okay, so Sir Jeffers is a reverse domino.
No, Sir Jeffers is domino. Sir Jeffers is having a great
time.
He
can't be incredibly lucky to the point of, you know, just absurdity and also incredibly unlucky to the point of absurdity.
He's
one or the other.
His curse is that he is lucky.
I think his curse is that he's successful.
And he should be thrown out of a helicopter.
No, that's you.
I'll take him with me.
I mean, you're only going to drop like 10 feet. It'll be fine.
Moving on, though. Thank you all for your responses to episode 152.
So you won't know it's 10 feet. But, you know, it'll be fine.
I appreciate that. We have, on the other hand, asked yet another question. And the question for episode 153 is,
when did an argument ruin a game?
Indeed. So we want to know, Digidicers, when it comes down to that inter-character conflict or inter-player conflict, when did it ruin a game for you? When did that other player just rage quit, throw a controller, break your TV? Did they walk out of your D&D game never to return? You know, and I will be the first to say this is something where, you know, I've had that happen where I've been playing in a game with a friend of mine who I'd known for well over 15 years, and it all basically came down to one night playing Dungeons & Dragons. Decisions were being made that they didn't like. They stood up, and at this point, it's felt out of the blue, but there had to have been some other stuff going on that basically was getting to this point. It didn't feel right that it was just that it happened this way, but they basically stood up, hands down on the table, said, "This is bullshit," grabbed their stuff, walked out the door, and have never gamed with me again. I have now not seen them in person in nigh on almost 10 years.
Did you steal their Cheetos?
Actually, no. At this point, it's closer to 7 or 8 years.
The question stands.
I did not steal their Cheetos.
I guess for me, I think we had a player who kept on getting his character killed by being dumb. And at some point, he just got fed up, and he moved to the other side of the state.
Oh, yeah, that does happen as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other side of the state's not that bad.
Spokane?
It's good to pass through.
Because there's a freeway that goes above it.
I know. Well, that one time that I got into a game and spent months and months and months practicing the skills necessary to operate the largest mining vessels, and then just kind of said, fuck it, and I left.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And there went our best mining vessel in the entire fleet.
I know, because it was a whole bunch of bullshit, and it was just exceedingly unfun, and I felt the need to slap somebody.
Nice. Nice. I see you. I see you staring at Brian like that.
Trying to make the craziest eyes I can in Mark.
Once again, dear Digidicers, we want to ask the question for episode 153, which goes a little something like this.
When did an argument ruin a game?
Yes, indeed. So, as we kind of come down towards the end of the show here, we want to get some shout-outs, and especially shout-outs to our absolutely amazing patrons.
Patrons.
We have Astonishing Legends, Golden Bolt, Desmond.
Hi, Desmond.
Patrick M., McMindflare, Botigo,
got SquareBear23, Chubby Wildcat, and Odd Shape Channel.
Thank you all for being patrons.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being our patrons.
We would like to point out that thank you to all of you who are our patrons, because you are allowing us. We're currently sitting at about 50% of our operating costs are now being covered by our patron.
I mean, depending on the bottle of Patron, that could be a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. But thank you to our patrons for helping us. You are absolutely helping keep us on the air for our various shows, and we really do appreciate it.
Speaking of which, were you aware that Pippa.io is our podcast host, and we do indeed recommend them.
We
do. Anyone wishing to start their own show or move their show to a great hosting service, we have now many shows and many more and other plans and ideas and other crap that we'll be bringing to the forefront.
Absolutely.
We were with Libsyn, but we switched over to Pippa.io, and honestly, we have never looked back.
It's great time, so thanks to you guys.
And you saw ruin in your wake.
I saw things that I couldn't quite make intelligence of.
So you wept tears of pitch.
So we want to say thank you out there to all of you Digidicers and everyone who's joined us this week. You know, you can keep in touch with us at our website and various social networking sites.
You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/digitalanddice.
You can check us out on Tumblr at digitalanddice.tumblr.com.
For email and Google Plus, you can find us at digitalanddice@gmail.com.
Follow at digitalanddice on Twitter.
Tweet, tweet. Donate to your favorite podcast on the internet by visiting patreon.com/digitalanddice.
That's patreon.com/digitalanddice. You can also check us out at our website, www.digitalanddice.com, where you can not only listen to the most recent episodes of all our podcast releases, and as a side note, that means you can listen to the Digital and Dice podcast on the main page. You can listen to Hazardous Endeavors, SGO Files, or even Creature Pasta right there on the website without having to download anything. But you can also check us out there on our YouTube channel. Comment on what you like what you see. Make sure you subscribe to keep
no
up
options,
to date.
Just like what you see.
Like
just
what you
it.
See. Hit that bell so you can be reminded of all the stuff we're doing and be notified of when we go live.
And take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you found us. It really helps us get the show to as many of you great people as possible. And that not only applies to us, but literally any podcast that you have been listening to that you have at least moderately enjoyed. It can be a 2-sentence review that simply states, I went to the store today and bought cheese.
Yep.
The metrics and the analytics from iTunes are what a lot of other podcast catchers and rating systems use to determine who gets seen.
I mean, if you want to praise us, you could praise us. I'd be okay with that. If you want to shout out our name to the heavens, that's also encouraged.
If you appreciate what we do and you can't support us monetarily, a review on iTunes does more than you think. It really can help quite a lot.
Mm. Truth.
So thank you so much. We're going to leave you now with Super Smash Bros. Melee, Choose Your Destiny by Damons, to keep you entertained until next week when we return with more news, rants, opinions, and general internet loots.
But never fear, we shall return.
And until then,
Game on, Internet!